the supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness. And I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive. And make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans. And muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear brothers and sisters, salam. And welcome to this episode of today's special. Dear brothers and sisters, on this episode of today's special, we're going to speak about Islamic Revolution and its achievements. Be with us. Today, Thursday, is the 18th of Rajab 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 20th of Bahman 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 9th of February 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For today, We choose chapter Al-Jinn, verses 13 to 15 from the Holy Quran for listening.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَأَنَّا لَمَّا سَمِعْنَا الْهُدَى آمَنَّا بِهِ فَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِرَبِّهِ فَلَا يَخَافُ بَخْسًا وَلَا رَهَقًا.
And when we heard the guidance, we believed in it. And whoever believes in his Lord will not fear deprivation or burden.
وَأَنَّا مِنَّا الْمُسْلِمُونَ وَمِنَّا الْقَاسِطُونَ فَمَنْ أَسْلَمَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ تَحَرَّوْا رَشَدًا.
And among us are Muslims in submission to Allah, and among us are the unjust. And whoever has become Muslim, those have sought out the right course.
وَأَمَّا الْقَاسِطُونَ فَكَانُوا لِجَهَنَّمَ حَطَبًا.
But as for the unjust, they will be for hell firewood.
لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
مَا لَنَا رَبٌّ سِوَى.
It implies that the true believers may never be disobedient. In this respect, it is narrated from the noble Prophet of Allah, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, as saying, "A true believer is one from whose part people are assured of the security of their life and property." According to another prophetic tradition, Muslim is one from whose hands and tongue other are rest assured.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Bahman presents
today's special. As previous episode of today's special, in this week, we continue to know about Islamic Revolution and its achievements. On February 1, 1979, Imam Khomeini, the founder of the Islamic Revolution, returned to Tehran amidst an enthusiastic welcome from the people after 15 years of exile. On the occasion of the 44th anniversary of the victory of Iran's Islamic Revolution, intellectuals and people of conscience continue to express their opinions on the remarkable achievements made by the Islamic Revolution. The professor of applied geology, Ahmed Haruna, in an exclusive interview with Iran Press News Agency, said, "When the Islamic Republic of Iran defeated Iraq and won the 8 years imposed war, people around the world jubilated, not just Muslims, but even Christians. They were benefiting from the Islamic Revolution because I realized that Imam Khomeini is for humanity, and that's the proper definition of Islam." He also talked about how the Islamic Republic helped suppress nations in the world, citing examples with Lebanon, Palestine, Afghanistan, and other countries regardless of their faith. "That impact has come to a stay," he said.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. This is Ali, and we are going to talk about the Islamic Revolution in Iran and its achievements for more than four decades. On the eve of the 44th anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution, the outcome of Iran's uprising against the US-backed rule of Mohammad Reza Pahlavi is a hot topic of discussion among Iranians. We're going to talk about the achievements and successes of the revolution in the past four decades in various sectors. Let's have a look at the cultural achievements of the Islamic Republic of Iran. We believe that Iranian culture was revived in this period. One of the factors of the Iranian people's uprising against the regime of Mohammad Reza Shah was that the regime of Shah was opposite to Islamic culture and values and tried to promote immorality in society. The Islamic Revolution put an end to this evil situation, and the promotion and propagation of religion replaced it. The religiosity and spirituality of the revolution is so important that Ayatollah Khamenei said, "The message of the Islamic Revolution is the message of spirituality, attention to spirituality and bringing the element of spirituality in human life and heeding of morality and God." In more than four decades, ample activities have been done for expansion of the Islamic culture. Mosques have played such an important role in this regard that Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, called mosques as trenches of the revolution. In view of this, the number of mosques have approximately tripled compared with before the revolution. Every year, millions of Iranians benefit from the spiritual climate of mosques. The quality and quantity of religion ceremonies have increased. The morning or Azza ceremonies for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and other imams of the Prophet's Ahlul Bayt and progeny are held very gloriously and fervently. Hundreds of thousands of youths participate in the 20 million strong Arabian march towards the mausoleum of Imam al-Hussein in Karbala, which takes place during the days marking the 40th anniversary of Imam al-Hussein's martyrdom.
In the month of Bahman, the month of Islamic Revolution, be with
today's special. When we look at the list of achievements of the Islamic Revolution in the field of health and wellness, we reach to the growth of the number of doctors and health professionals. In the Pahlavi era, for the total population of 36 million in Iran, in the size of all cities in the country, there were only a limited number of doctors, and the country's villages were suffering from only 1,500 rural health centers without doctors and specialists. The number of doctors in the country, including general practitioners and specialists in various fields, was about 14,000 in 1978, while a significant part of this number also included foreign doctors. On this account, there were still about 9.3 doctors per 10,000 people, according to the World Bank. The doctors-to-population ratio has improved sixfold in the post-revolutionary period.
The explosion of light in the modern age of ignorance with the support of Islam. The Islamic Revolution.
This is today's special and achievements of four decades, that is, Iranian culture revived. One of the factors for the Iranian people's uprising against the regime of Mohammad Reza Shah was that the regime of Shah was opposite to the Islamic culture and values and tried to promote immorality in society. The Islamic Revolution put an end to this evil situation, and the promotion and propagation of religion replaced it. The religiosity and spirituality of the revolution is so important that Ayatollah Khamenei said, "The message of the Islamic Revolution is the message of spirituality, attention to spirituality, and bringing the element of spirituality in human life and heeding of morality and Allah."
If we want to understand the path of Imam al-Khomeini, we need to understand the personality and worldview of the Imam. Imam says that there is one Lord, and we have to free ourselves in order to serve this Lord. And that is why, when it comes to the thought of Imam al-Khomeini, we see that Imam says that if mankind and human beings, if they want to free themselves, then there is only one way in front of them, and that is Islam. The message of Allah, this is the only message that can free all the human beings. And that is why this man, he was convinced that the problems that the Muslim Ummah are facing today, it is because of their separation from Islam. Not only the Muslim Ummah and the Muslims, but in the thought of Imam al-Khomeini, all the tribulations that the modern man is facing in the world, it is because of his separation from the divine teachings. If we were to summarize the path of Imam al-Khomeini in one word, that path is Islam. Islam stands for the path of Imam al-Khomeini. Many of us, when we talk about Imam al-Khomeini, we know him by the concept of Wilayat al-Faqih. He's famously known as for the concept of Wilayat al-Faqih. But this is not the only component in the thought of Imam al-Khomeini. Imam al-Khomeini, there are other components as well that make up this path and component and the way of Imam al-Khomeini. And we need to understand these other components in order to have a very clear picture of the path of the Imam, the cause and the factors that led to this great movement that he initiated towards the end of the 20th century.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. That is the end of this episode of today's special. We leave you in Allah's blessings. Fi amanallah.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and for your information, once when the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, was asked about the best and the worst creations of God, he answered, "Wording is the best and the worst thing that God created. By means of wording, some faces become white, and by means of wording, some faces become black." Thank you. Take pieces of bread from me. And your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. This hadith is about the virtue of performing the salat, the ritual prayers, at the earliest moment of the time prescribed for it. You know that there is a time period in which we can perform the ritual prayers. Of course, this is a subject which should be discussed in the programs of jurisprudence. Nevertheless, the aspect from which we want to approach the subject is an ethical one, and that is that although there is a long period of time which has been allotted for the performance of the ritual prayer. For example, the Salat al-Zuhr, the afternoon prayers, they can be performed from midday until the setting of the sun. But even though this is true, and the obligation which we have been obliged with, which is the performance of the ritual prayer, we will have fulfilled it, properly, no matter when we performed it. Nevertheless, if we perform it in the beginning of the time prescribed for it, it will be more virtuous, and we will have more sawab and other worldly reward. The sooner we perform it, the better. Imam Baqir alayhi salam said, "Know that the earliest time is always the best." He said, "I'lam anna awwal al-waqt abadan afdal." The earliest time is always the best. So hasten to perform good wherever you can. This is actually a general hadith and statement by the Imam. He's referring to all acts of good, not specifically the salat. The salat is one of the instances of this general rule that, you know, performing good acts is always good, but the sooner we perform them, the better it is. And one of the instances and cases to which this general rule can be applied is the salat. In continuation, the Imam said, "The most beloved acts in the eyes of Allah, mighty and exalted, are those that the servant performs regularly, even though they be few in number." So the first part of this hadith is kind of about performing good acts early, as soon as possible. The second is about performing them regularly and not slacking in the performance of those good acts, right? Also, performing salat on time, in the beginning of the time allotted for it. And then secondly, continuously performing them, regularly performing them. A lot of times, especially for people who live in the West, a lot of us, it's very difficult to perform salat on time. For example, a lot of us are in school at that time, and you know, we're in class, we can't leave class, we don't have permission to leave class and perform salat on time. Or we're at work, we don't have, you know, the leeway to do that, right? So for these people, obviously, the most virtuous time for them to perform it is as soon as possible, as soon as they can feasibly perform the salat. As soon as they get home from school, before going to the TV, turning on cartoons, perform your salat, and then you can get on with your, what you want to do with your daily activities. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at performing the salat on time, in the beginning of the time, in the words of Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك
Let's recite the Quran.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahu.
Assalamu alaikum, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Welcome to IRIB English Radio. Here again, we are with you in another Quranic session. Brother Fawad Haider is here, Brother Hassan Ruhullah, Hassan Nasrullah, Hussein Ruhullah, and Ali Nasir, students of Xavier International School. So, we are here with you with another Quranic session. Welcome everyone. Today, inshallah, the same as our previous sessions, we will have one of the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 271 on page 46. So, brothers and sisters, as you're listening to IRIB English Radio, please hold on your Qurans. Turn to page 46, ayah 271 of Surah Al-Baqarah. So, Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasir, we will, inshallah, everyone, listen to this ayah, and then we'll come back and recite and practice.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In tubdu s-sadaqati fani'immahi. وَإِن تُخْفُوهَا وَتُؤْتُوهَا الْفُقَرَاءَ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَيُكَفِّرُ عَنْكُمْ مِنْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ.
Nice recitation. We will have a recitation, okay? All together. I'll recite. Pay attention, listen carefully, and then repeat. Okay, Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, and Ali Nasir.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
إن تبدوا الصدقات فنعما هي
إن تبدوا الصدقات فنعما هي
أحسنت وإن تخفوها وتؤتوها الفقراء فهو خير لكم
وإن تخفوها وتؤتوها الفقراء فهو خير لكم
ويكفر عنكم من سيئاتكم
ويكفر عنكم من سيئاتكم
والله بما تعملون خبير
والله بما تعملون خبير
أحسنتم ما شاء الله Allah Almighty says إن تبدو الصدقات If you disclose your charities it means if you donate if you give charity okay in public so if you donate and you know that people see you okay in front of the people before the people zarda whatever again Allah Almighty says in tubdu sadaqat if you disclose your charities okay if you give charity in public and people are looking at you and your intention is for Allah okay not for the people you just let the people see and learn and understand or for example you're spreading charity okay this sense of donation okay to the poor فَنِعِمَّا هِيَ okay what does it mean it means that is good that's so good okay if you give charity this way but something better than that is what if you hide your charity or donate the donate okay hidingly okay donate or give charity and don't let others know this okay sometimes yes there are a lot of people okay they donate and at the same time there are different groups of people who donate and their intention is okay the people for the people to let the people see okay them yes donating and respect them oh he's a good person like this And there are other group of people that they donate and their intention is, of course, Allah Almighty. They do it for the sake of Allah Almighty. And these people who do for the sake of Allah Almighty, they are again two groups. People who donate, their intention is for Allah Almighty, and they do it in public, disclose their charities. And the next group, people who donate and they do it hidingly. Not in public. People do not see them. So Allah Almighty says, the one who donates for the people, it's not for Allah Almighty. Allah Almighty will not reward him. Okay? And those who do it and disclose it, okay, in public, they have thawab. Allah Almighty will give them thawab because it's for Allah Almighty. Doesn't matter, it's in public, okay? They have thawab, but if you want to get more thawab, do it hidingly. Okay, فَنِعِمَّا هِيَ But if you hide them and give them to the poor, that is better for you. For you, it is better. Maybe sometimes when we donate, okay, in public, we might feel pride, so proud of ourselves. Yes, it's me who donates. Because Shaitan is always there to tempt you to kind of give you kind of some, feelings, like you should feel yourself Yes, I'm the best. I am the one who has a lot of things. I'm the one who can help others. There's no one else like me, okay? Maybe you kind of have these feelings. You might find these feelings in yourself, okay? You might feel them. And yes, of course, from the levels of perfection, or your intention might be not for Allah Almighty. All right? So be careful. So that's why Allah Almighty says, إِن تُخْفُوهَا وَتُؤْتُوهَا الْفُقَرَى فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. It's better. Okay? وَيُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ. And if you donate, yes, it will atone or it will compensate for some of your misdeeds, mistakes. You might have sinned, you might have committed sins, okay? If you donate, charity, sadaqah, well compensated. Okay? That's it, okay? وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. And whatever you do, Allah Almighty knows, okay, what you do. That's it. Guys, remember, inshallah, you might have studied a lot about the lifestyles of our imams, okay? They were doing this a lot. They were hiddenly donating the people at midnights, okay? Yeah, about Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, Imam Baqir alayhi salam, all our imams. Even they were helping their enemies, donating their enemies, those who were poor.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
Yes, I want you to refer to the Tafasir book, okay, Fawad? Because there are a lot to learn about this ayah, a lot to learn about charity, donation, these things. Inshallah, refer to the Tafasir book, you will learn more. That's enough. We will now, inshallah, move to the practical part of our class, the Tajweed rules. So many important Tajweed rules are here that we will mention them. And I want you, brothers and sisters, as you're listening, as you're with us, here in this Quranic session, please take notes and practice them well. Ali Nasir, Hussein, Hassan, Fawad. Let's go to the practical Tajweed rules. All right?
Yes.
Okay. إِن تُبْدُوا الصَّدَقَاتِ فَنِعِمَّاهِ وَإِن تُخْفُوهَا وَتُؤْتُوهَا الْفُقَرَاءَ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَيُكَفِّرُ عَنْكُمْ مِنْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. Let's pay attention to the rules. إِن تُبْدُو نُن ساكين plus
با
تا
تا
تا. Yes, he wanted to say تا, of course. In after nun sakin we have
ta.
So ta is from the
rest of the letters.
We have four groups: yarmalun groups, throat letters groups, yes,
and ba,
and the letter ba, which we apply the rule iqlab. So three groups, and the rest of the letters were
for ikhfa
rule. We would apply the rule ikhfa. Ta is from the rest of the letters. So how do you apply the rule ikhfa? Hussein, apply the rule ikhfa.
In tubdu.
You hide the sound of the noon and you produce a nasal
sound.
In tubdu. And in the word tubdu, there is another rule.
Qalqala.
Yes. Qalqala. The ba has to produce an echoing sound. Right? This is, we say, yeah, Qutb Jad letter. Ba is from the Qutb Jad letter. But the level of qalqala is what? Huh?
Normal.
Normal, yes.
Normal, are you sure?
Light.
No.
Qalqala, yes. It's a light qalqala, not a very strong one. Okay?
Yes.
It's what do we say? Yeah, a light one. Yeah. Because we had three levels of qalqala. Normal one and a heavy one. Right? A strong one. So this one is a light one. do not echo the sound a lot because it's in the middle of a word. So, tubdu as-sadaqat. There is a wawmat, tubdu, then as-sadaqat. The rule has been mentioned a lot, okay? We've repeated it a lot. So, yeah, the oo sound will be skipped here. Since we join the dal to what?
Sad.
Sad. Tubdu as-sadaqat. You don't have to read it. Tubdu as-sadaqat. Right?
Yes.
Tubdu as-sadaqat. فَنِعِمَّا هِيَ Pay attention to the mim mushaddad. وَإِن تُخْفُهَا Again, إِخْفَى تُخْفُهَا وَتُؤْتُوهَا Again, هَلْ فُقَرَى هَلْ فُقَرَى Skip the mad. هَلْ فُقَرَاءَ The mad is wajib, right?
Yes.
Because hamza and mad letter are in the same word.
Yes.
فُقَرَاءَ Stretch the sound for six counts. فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ Tanween plus lam, yarmalun,
idgham.
Khayrul lakum. Jim tells you?
It's jaiz.
Jaiz. Either you continue or stop. It's okay. Wa yukaffiru ankum. Ankum, nun sakin plus kaf. From the kaf is from the?
Rest of the letters.
Yeah, kaf is from the rest of the letters. So here you have to do ikhfa. Ankum, mim sakin plus mim.
Idgham mislein.
Idgham mislein. Ankum, min, nun sakin plus sin, min.
إخفاء
من سيئاتكم من إخفاء great قيلا tells you
فوان? It's better to stop
والله the word Allah the lam in the word Allah must be pronounced
heavy.
With a heavy sound والله heavily yeah full yeah. mouth والله بما تعملون خبير را Ra shouldn't be pronounced with a heavy sound because there is a kasra sound before. Khabir. That's it. So important rules we mentioned, alhamdulillah. Please practice them, inshallah, to have a nice recitation with tajweed, okay? Hussein, Hassan, Ali Nasir, and Fawad, they learned. Alhamdulillah, brothers and sisters, we hope you've learned as well. Practice them, please. For explanation, since there are a lot to learn, okay, refer to the Tafasir book. Thanks to IRIB English Radio, thanks to Sevier International School for cooperation, and Fawad, Hassan Hussein, Ali Nasir, thank you so much. Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with us. We really recommend you stay with us in IRIB English Radio. Inshallah, we'll be here with you in the next coming sessions. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل
فرجه Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
If you ask me why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me proudly I would say I am a Muslim If you ask her why does she dress that way all covered up in a world that gives it all away proudly she would say I am a Muslim
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray five times a day when so many others have strayed, smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam.
الإسلام ديني والعظم غير ديني محمد اللي هديني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We're going to talk about some of the Islamic rules or laws about purity according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, "We testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Mahajad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker, is kind enough to answer my questions regarding some of the Islamic laws, especially the ones that we've started from a few episodes ago onward, regarding purification based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Well, Sheikh Javid, in this episode, let me ask you this question. You know, sometimes it happens that Muslims in the West, they have to rent houses. They cannot build their own houses, and wherever they go and rent an apartment, for example, with a built-in toilet in it, right?
Sure.
And the toilet is unfortunately built in the way or in the direction of the Qibla. What can they do about this?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, if possible, they should, do some construction work to change the direction of the toilet seat, and because it will be something permanent, and in the event that they stay longer in that house, it will be easier for them and for the people coming after them to use the seat without having to worry about the direction of the Qibla. So that's one thing. And if it is a rented house which one cannot change, and one cannot reconstruct, of course, in most cases it's not possible because the landlord does not allow such a reconstruction to take place. So one has to adjust himself or herself while using the toilet seat, the commode, and one should make sure that he does not or she does not use the seat. Use with his face towards the Qibla or with his back towards the Qibla. That has to be done. And of course, if there are guests, if there are other children, they have to be informed about the direction of the Qibla. That will be recommended.
I see.
Yes.
Okay. And another question, Sheikh Shavid, is about the human feces and urine, which we Muslims all know that they are impure, ritually speaking, right?
Yes.
But what about other impure things to be careful about? Would you tell our listeners about those impure things other than the feces and urine?
Obviously, as we discussed, urine and feces are ritually impure. But there are, apart from these two things, there are 8 other things which are impure, and which are essentially impure. And they are semen, okay? Semen of animals and semen of men. Is impure, and one has to
of animals too.
Yeah, of course, semen is impure, and it doesn't make any difference whether the semen comes from a halal animal or a haram animal. It is impure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it comes to the dead body, is also impure if it is not washed. Okay, as long as the dead body has not been bathed or washed according to the Islamic Sharia, then it has to it should be treated as impure.
Mm-hmm.
And in the event that one touches the dead body, then it becomes necessary for an individual to undergo a process which is called ghusl, ghusl masmayid, or ghusl for touching a dead body,
yes,
to purify oneself, to purify himself. And that's why, and that's the reason which quite clearly suggests that dead bodies are impure as long as they have not been washed. Then, of course, we have the blood. The blood of animals and human beings is impure. The blood which comes from animals, whatever animals, whether they are halal or haram, mm-hmm, is impure. And the same is the case with the blood of human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the blood which comes from an animal which does not have gushing blood, there are some small, tiny creatures which,
like insects,
like fish, for example, small,
mm-hmm,
tiny fish,
yes,
they have a small amount of blood in their bodies. That blood is not impure because basically those animals,
there is no gushing.
Yeah, there is no that the blood does not gush forth. It does not spurt,
yes,
out, and that's it.
Uh-huh.
Then we have dogs are,
essentially
impure,
images,
essentially,
yeah,
impure, according to the explicit teachings of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. And also pigs, khinzir,
yes,
are also essentially impure, of course. These two animals are impure. Other animals,
mm-hmm,
like, for example, we have swine, we have, jackals, wolves, they are not essentially impure, okay? They are not essential. Even though it's haram to pray with their fur on your body or on your clothes, okay? Because there's a hadith from the Infallibles which says that prayer with the fur of these animals or animals whose meat is essentially haram to eat,
mm-hmm,
okay, is not permissible.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then there is the ninth, an impure thing that's called wine or alcoholic objects, which are intoxicating,
right,
according to His Eminence. And according to all religious authorities, wine is impure. Wine mm-hmm. is haram. It is one of the impure things. And alcoholic beverages, which are intoxicating, also are impure. Mm-hmm. And one has to stay away from them, from
okay.
it. And then the ninth, the last thing, of course, is the sweat of an animal which persistently eats in najasa, which eats, you know, impure things. Like, for example, it eats on the feces of human beings.
Right.
So, of course, there are special procedures which through which one can purify those animals. And these animals can be confined to certain places so that they can okay. get purified.
Oh, thank you very much. We have to take a late break and we'll be back after the break. Don't go away.
Sure.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad Hossein, and our guest speaker, Sheikh Javid. Sheikh Javid, I asked you a question before the break about the impurity of human feces and urine. But what about the urine and feces of the animal that has been defiled by man? Are they najis?
Now, imagine, for example, a goat or a sheep, which is halal, okay? And which, if slaughtered according to Islamic Sharia, it is halal to eat its meat, okay?
Yes.
Now, God forbid if someone defiles these animals and has intercourse with them. Now, not only the urine becomes najis, the feces of these animals become najis, the entire animal becomes najis, and it's necessary to kill the animal, and it's not permissible to sell the animal to other people who do not know about anything about
right.
the sexual intercourse that has taken place with that animal. So the feces, the fur of that animal, and everything that comes from that animal is impure.
Mm-hmm. How about the animal's urine and droppings? Are they impure?
And then, you know, the animals whose meat is halal to eat now, I give you the example of cows, you know, camels,
sheep,
and these are some of the animals which are halal to eat. Now, the droppings, the urine of these animals are
pure.
Not najis, they uh-huh. are pure, in case they are not defiled by human beings, you
uh-huh.
know.
Okay.
And when it comes to other animals, the animals whose meat is haram to eat, like, for example, the example of a lion or jackal or leopard, or these are some
or rabbit.
Animals, yes.